or someone I shouldn't be thinking about, someone that wasn't mine and never would be. How the fuck do you always know when I need you, Alex? She smiled and her entire face lit up. It's because I love you. I threw caution to the wind and cupped the sides of her face. Her eyes widened before I pulled her toward me, not giving it a second thought. I kissed her. For a second, my lips touched hers. For a moment, I felt the pain go away. Reality disappeared that instant. It didn't last long, and a part of me knew it wasn't going to. Her hands pressed against my chest, shoving me away, making me stumble backwards on the dock, feeling the loss of her warmth immediately. "Austin!" she shrieked out, backing away from me with a look of disappointment on her face. "What are you doing?" "Fuck!" I called out. "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Alex. I shouldn't have done that." She shook her head side to side, lost in her own thoughts, not knowing how to reply, not knowing what to do or how to move forward. "Austin," she barely whispered. "I know, Alex. You don't have to say it." I managed to respond. We stood there for I don't know how long, staring aimlessly at each other. And then she just turned around and left, walked away from me without another word. I bowed my head, feeling lost. I knew she wouldn't tell anyone. She would take this to her grave, as would I. She wouldn't break the bond between the boys and I. But that didn't mean I didn't just break the bond between her and me.
Briggs. Daisy. I heard someone whisper in my sleep. I rolled over toward the voice. I groggily opened my eyes, wiping sleep from my face. "Esteban?" I muttered, blinking away the darkness and looking around confused. "Everything okay?" I immediately asked, taken aback. He'd never been in my room before. "You need to get up and come with me," was all he said before he started making his way out of my room. I scratched my head, not understanding what was going on. I pushed off my covers, swung my legs over the edge of the bed, and stood stretching, making my way into the bathroom to brush my teeth and wash my face. I tied my hair back in a ponytail as I walked out of the bathroom to find Esteban leaning against my door. He didn't say a word. He just stared out in front of him, like he was lost in his own thoughts. His composure read of a man on his way to his execution, a man I'd never met before. And that scared me more than everything. "Is everything..." "Come on," he interrupted, pushing off the door and walking away. I followed behind him, trying to keep up with his pace. The sound coming off his black dress shoes echoed through the dark, narrow hallways, mimicking the pounding of my heart and the ringing in my ears. The silence was deafening all around us. I never realized how quiet the penthouse was at night. Our shadows simply heightened the darkness lurking in the corners. It didn't even seem like it was that late. One stride for Esteban was 3 steps for me. I know, because I counted. It was the only way to keep my breathing somewhat steady. 1 stride. 3 steps. 1 stride. 3 steps. 1 stride. 3 steps. I followed him through the swinging door that led to the kitchen. The strong, pungent smell of bleach assaulted my senses. My hand immediately rose to cover my nose and mouth. Esteban didn't bat an eye, too focused on his task that led us to the service elevator. He pressed the button, and within seconds it dinged. The door slid open as if it had been waiting there for us the entire time. He stepped in while I stayed frozen in place, my heart pounding so profusely that I found it hard to breathe. My lips parted and my chest heaved with each passing moment that escalated between us. Panic began to set in, and my mind started running wild. I anxiously tried to gather my thoughts, but they were as stuck as my feet were glued to the floor beneath me. "Get in," he ordered. The unfamiliar, harsh, and demanding tone only added to my fear. For a quick second, I wondered if he could smell it. I didn't budge. I couldn't. "Why?" I blurted, finally finding my own voice. "Get in," he repeated, and my body began to shake. I stared into his dark, soulless eyes. I took in his daunting, eerie composure, the way his hands hadn't left his sides, not hiding the fact that he was strapped, which he never was inside the penthouse. I took in every last detail. From the new cut he had just above his eyebrow to the slight wrinkle of his black suit jacket, how the first 2 buttons of his black dress shirt were missing, and how his stare hadn't wavered from mine. Not once. Reminding me of my uncle. "Are you going to hurt me?" I found myself asking, needing confirmation, but knowing it didn't matter. He wouldn't tell me the truth. Esteban would, but he wasn't Esteban.
"Get the fuck in," he gritted out.
I swallowed hard before placing one foot in front of the other, standing on the opposite side of the elevator, the furthest spot away from him. He didn't falter, punching 1017 into the keypad, like he wanted me to see it, and then button B. My mom's birthday? His eyes stayed focused in front of him, and my eyes stayed locked on the side of his face. I jumped when the elevator dinged again, immediately shutting my eyes as hard as I could, desperately wanting to pretend that this was just a bad dream, a nightmare that I would soon wake up from, finding no one was there to comfort me but myself. I used to loathe that feeling, and now for the first time, I craved it. I heard the doors open, and I involuntarily took 3 reassuring breaths. 1. In and out. 2. In and out. 3. In and out. I was struck with a coppery scent, and I knew that as soon as I opened my eyes, my life would never be the same again. The smell of fear and bodily fluids were all around me. There was no mistaking it. For some reason, I thought about the last time I was happy, slowly, cautiously opening my eyes, holding on to that feeling for as long as I could.
"Por fin?"
Uncle Alejandro broke the silence. "Finally." I swear on everything that was holy, my heart stopped beating. All the feelings, all the emotions were gone in a flash, as if they had never been there to begin with. I was there, but I wasn't.
"Venga," Uncle ordered. "Come."
My eyes widened as I came face to face with something straight out of a horror film. My blank stare went to the man. A man I'd never seen before. His head was draped over, his arms tied behind his back, and his legs strapped to the steel chair he was sitting on. A plastic visqueen-lined area beneath him. Silver duct tape sealed his mouth and eyes. Blood dripped down his bruised and bloody face. I looked around at my uncle's men. They wore their sadistic expressions and bloody knuckles proudly. No hint of remorse. No sign of guilt. They were showcasing their handiwork. The man was beaten within an inch of his life. I looked from the man who was alive but appeared dead to Esteban, who was standing at the far corner of the basement. Once again, the man I knew. Except this time, he looked as broken as I felt. The shame and remorse eating him alive. Me.
"I bring you a gift and this is how you react?" Uncle voiced, bringing my gaze back to him.
He was leaned up against the wall behind the man in the chair, his arms folded over his chest, one leg draped over the other. The sleeves of his shirt were rolled, but there wasn't a hair out of place. "A gift?" I whispered, loud enough for him to hear.
"Briggs, I won't tell you again. Come here."
I stepped off the elevator and the doors closed behind me. I shuddered, suddenly cold. My uncle smiled. "Are you scared?" I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything. I had to dig my nails into the palms of my hands to keep from passing out.
"You're my niece, the daughter of my only sister, who I loved very fucking much. I would never physically hurt you. Don't you ever fucking offend me again by letting that thought cross your mind."
I blinked, taking in his words. The concrete floors were calloused beneath my bare feet. The sounds of a furnace echoed through the huge, damp concrete basement.
"Do you understand me?" he added.
I peered down at the man in the chair, ignoring his question. My uncle followed the direction of my stare.
"It was a hit and run."
Our eyes locked.
"And this?"
He nodded at the man in the chair.
"Is the man who ran,"
he stated, answering the question in my mind. My eyes scanned his body, confused and overwhelmed by the turn of events. I couldn't look away from the man's gruesome appearance. His chest was in worse shape than his face. Blood was covering his whole torso. I looked closer and sucked in a breath. Amari. My mom's name was carved on his skin, peeking out through his ripped button-down shirt on his chest. My uncle jerked his neck toward Esteban, who understood his silent command. He made his way to the man in the chair. For a second, Esteban's eyes pleaded with me to forgive him for what was about to happen. He roughly ripped off the tape from his eyes and then his mouth, throwing a bucket of water on his face, and the man stirred into consciousness, gasping for air that wasn't available for the taking. Esteban quickly retreated back to the corner of the basement. I could have sworn I saw him make the sign of the cross before the sounds of the man waking up brought my attention back to the situation. He immediately started screaming,
and thrashing around. My uncle didn't pay him any mind. For the first time in my life, I fought an internal struggle between right and wrong. You didn't kill your parents, Briggs. He did, Uncle reminded, fueling my battle of good versus evil. My heart, my mind, my soul. Liar, the man yelled out. I jumped, craving to place my hands over my ears, my eyes, to hide, to crawl into that empty space I'd been living in for years. To seek refuge within myself was the only way I knew how to survive. You're a fucking liar, he screamed, bloody murder, whipping around even harder, faster, almost making the chair fall over. No one paid him any mind as I visibly struggled with my conflicting emotions. Unforgiving, merciless, remorseless. Please, God. One right after the other. It's midnight, my uncle said, settling a stare on the man. The rest played out in slow motion. My uncle raised his gun, pointing it directly to the back of the man's head. The man stopped moving, as if he knew. All of the fight in him was gone, locking eyes with me instead. I screamed, shaking. No, no, no! You don't have to do this! Happy 15th birthday, Daisy. And with that, he blew his fucking head off.
Chapter 8. Austin. Hey, I greeted, walking up to Alex from behind. She turned to face me and smiled shyly. Hey. I hadn't seen her much since that day on the dock. There was no point to it. I fucked up, and she knew that. I sat down next to her on the bench, surprised to find her at the pier. It wasn't a place she came to often. I'd been hanging out at Charlie's house all day, throwing back a few drinks and shooting the shit. What you doing over here by yourself?
I don't know. Sometimes I come here to think.
I understood that all too well. About Lucas? I blurted without thinking. She immediately looked over at me, shocked and dismayed. I reassuringly smiled with an arched eyebrow and a mischievous look on my face. The last time we talked about her and Lucas was half a decade ago, never once bringing it up after that day on the dock. Maybe she thought I forgot, or maybe she pretended like it never happened. Whatever the cause may have been, a lot had happened since then. I wasn't the same boy anymore, and she wasn't the same girl.
It's okay, Halfpint. I'm not Jacob or Dylan. All I want is for you to be happy with Lucas, with Cole. Shit, even with a chick if that's what floats your fancy.
She chuckled, shaking her head.
No girls.
I laughed. A guy can dream, right? She grinned, nudging me with her shoulder.
How long have you known?
All our lives.
Long enough.
She nodded with understanding as she turned to look back out over the water.
The boys.
I know, I interrupted, already knowing what she was going to say.
In all fairness, though, they're just looking out for you, Alex.
It's what we've always done. It's not coming from a bad place. You know we love you more than anything.
I know.
The boys had definitely done some damage when it came to their relationship, and maybe I had my part in it, too. Over the last year, I thought a lot about my childhood, about the things I couldn't change, and for the first time, I didn't want to.
Every memory, every moment, every life event brought me to this place in time where I was content and comfortable in my own skin. Finally finding some solid ground to the rocky foundation that had always been placed beneath me.
I don't think you do. I know you, Alex. I've known you as long as I've known them. You and Lucas have always had a special, unbreakable bond. When I was a kid, I used to be jealous of your relationship. It wasn't because I wanted you in that way or anything. It was more because I never had that connection to anyone. You're like my little sister, and that applies to all of us, I revealed. Knowing it was the effects of the booze I'd been drinking all day. Part of what I said was true, and part of it wasn't. Half-truths. So many lies. Too many lies. But I still found myself saying them, because it was what she needed to hear. And at the end of the day, she was all that ever mattered. To all of us.
Except you and Lucas complete each other. You balance each other out in a way that we all do for one another, but... You had your own dynamic going on. She nodded in understanding. As the youngest, I've always felt like the odd man out with the rest of the boys. I guess that's why I try to do everything to the extreme. I need to make up for it or something, I admitted out loud. I had nothing to lose anymore. I'd lost it all already. When I realized that was when I started living.
Austin, she murmured, completely surprised by my outburst. I never knew you felt that way.
I shrugged. I'm good at hiding things. We have that in common. The boys have never made me feel like that by any means. At least, not on purpose. It's still there, though. You know, Lucas always tells me that we're a lot alike, and I never understood what he meant until they left. I paused, reflecting on what I was about to confess to her, the alcohol making it easier to do so, both of us wanting to be one of the boys. She gazed at the side of my face.
I've never thought that about you. Not ever.
I nodded, and I've never thought that about you. But it doesn't change the fact that you felt that way, does it?
No,
she half-whispered. I smiled sadly and bowed my head for a few seconds, only looking back up when I was ready. I graduate in a few months.
3 months,
she stated, like she was counting down the days until she would really be alone. I glanced at her smiling, and it eased the worry she felt in her heart. You going to miss me, Half Pint?
Always,
she bellowed, her eyes blurring. I wrapped my arm around her shoulder and pulled her into my chest, kissing the top of her head and letting my lips linger. I had eaten some food and put some gum in my mouth before I left to cover up the stench of alcohol. Alex was too innocent and naive to realize I'd been drinking, which only made me pull her closer to my chest. I will always be here for you. It doesn't matter where I am, I will always take care of you, and I will always love you. You're my half pint, I vowed, my voice breaking. As hard as it was for her to know that I was leaving her, it was just as hard for me to be leaving her, even though I wanted nothing more than to get the fuck out of this town. She sniffed.
Ditto.
One day, we won't care about what the boys think about us or what we do. On that day, we will both be extremely happy, I said, silently praying it would be true. That was the hardest pill to swallow. So, I brushed off the sentiments.
It's Saturday night, and Charlie's throwing one of his raging parties.
Let's go, I urged, standing up and reaching out my hand for her. No, I coaxed, shaking my head before she could answer. I don't want to hear your bullshit excuses about this or that. You will have fun with me. You will drink, you will dance, you will party, and that's a fucking order. She giggled and rolled her eyes.
Okay.
I wanted to spend one night with her where I didn't think about tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. How things might change between us after I left. How we may not be as close to one another as we had been this last year without the boys around. I wanted one night where we could both let go. Be free. Show her how much fun it was to just not give a fuck anymore. What anyone thought, wanted, or needed. To see that life didn't start and end with her beau. That there were other possibilities in the world where she might be happy. And I wanted to take pride in being the one person that opened her eyes to that. I drank. She drank. I danced. She danced. We laughed. We smiled. We lived in the moment, where it was just me and her, and it was one of the happiest days of my life.
Stop walking so fast,
she rambled, holding onto my hand tighter.
Stop walking so slow,
I replied, slightly slurring.
Hurry your asses up,
Jason yelled from in front of us.
Where are we going?
She asked, already forgetting what I told her.
The cops are coming. The party is being relocated.
Oh, yeah,
she giggled, and it was the sweetest sound I'd ever heard. I opened the passenger door for her and closed it when she was safely seated inside. I ran over to the driver's side, jumped in, and threw my car into reverse. Her body jerked forward from the momentum, and she started to giggle.
Turn the music on, I said.
She had a hard time finding the knobs, fidgeting from one to the other.
Half Pint, you're drunk,
I chuckled right along with her.
I love this song,
she shouted when she found the station she wanted. I watched her dance around in her seat, singing at the top of her lungs. I'd never seen her so fucking happy before, and I'd be lying if I said it didn't make me love her just a little bit more. I banged on the steering wheel, dancing right along with her. The music switched over to a slower song as we pulled up to a red light. I caught her leaning back in her seat, lazily looking over at me from the corner of my eye.
I love you, Austin. I love you so, so, so much.
I looked over at her and spoke with conviction. I love you more. I will always take care of you, and don't you ever fucking forget that. Now put your fucking seatbelt on.
Oh, yeah.
She sloppily grabbed the strap behind her head as I started driving again.
It won't go in the buckle,
she giggled again. Here, I took it out of her hands. Grab the wheel.
Okay.
The car started swerving a little.
Austin, I don't think I should be doing this.
I'm almost done. I would never let anything happen to her. I don't care how long it took me to put her goddamn seatbelt on. I wouldn't stop until she was safe. I felt her looking down.
You need to put your seatbelt on to...
Ooh, she hiccuped. Done, I stated, ignoring what she said. She smiled at me before facing forward as I grabbed the steering wheel again. We went back to dancing around.
Austin, you pussy, can't you drive faster than that?
Jason yelled out his car window next to us.
If I beat you to the woods, you pay for all the beer.
You're on, I yelled back.
I don't think...
Hey, I interrupted. What were the rules? I reminded with a huge smile on my face.
To have fun,
she beamed. I turned the radio up louder and pushed down the accelerator with my foot. She danced around some more, and I focused on driving faster than him. I hated when my friends thought they could do something better than me. That only added to my will to kick his fucking ass. The paved road ended and we had to drive through the woods till we reached the party. My car started to recoil from the dirt and grass, making her body jolt all around. I went faster, wanting this to be over and for her to be comfortable again. She pressed her hands against the dashboard, trying to hold her body steady from the impact around us. I expected it when she yelled out,
"Slow down!
We're almost there!" I could sense she was scared, which only pissed me off further and fueled my need to beat him for making me cause her any distress. She turned down the radio.
"You're going too fast!"
"Relax, we're fine," I soothed. I knew these woods. We were fine. I'd been partying in them for years. She gasped every time I took a sharp turn. The car's headlights only illuminated a few feet out in front of us, so I could understand why she was hanging onto the edge of her seat. I decided to take a shortcut and swerved left and then right. We would get there faster that way, and then we could go back to having a great night, like none of this bullshit had happened. When I saw the clear path in front of us, I heard her breathe a sigh of relief, and I knew I'd made the right decision. Except it was too soon. My heart dropped, and pure panic took over, locking up my senses. A tree laid out in front of us a few feet ahead, probably a result of one of the last few hurricanes.
"Austin!"
she screamed bloody murder. It vibrated throughout the car, and I immediately looked over at her with regret and sorrow written clear across my face. I slammed on the brakes, but it was too late. The tires spun in the mud, causing us to slide closer and closer to our destiny that waited with open arms. Alex's screams and the sounds of branches whipping by filled the small vacant spaces. She instinctively placed her arms over her face, and my whole life flashed before my eyes within seconds. My parents, my brother, the boys, Alex, Half Pint, her. That's when I remembered I didn't have my seatbelt on. It was her life or mine. Hers or mine. Hers or mine. Hers or mine. I chose hers. Everything from there on out happened in slow motion. I threw my body toward the passenger seat, placing my arms over her tiny frame, desperately trying to hold her back. Glass shattered all around us as metal screeched at our sides. I felt my body being thrown backward as if I was flying through the air. I shut my eyes and awaited my fate, praying to God for the first time in my life to please, please, save her. And then everything went black.
Briggs, there's no way to describe someone's brains being blown out of their head, splattered on the floor and walls. Time just seemed to stand still, nothing moving, including me. Sour bile burned in the back of my throat, threatening to surface. There was an unfamiliar smell lingering in the air, whether it was the scent of blood or death. I wasn't sure, but I would never forget it for as long as I lived. It was now a part of me, burned into my senses whether I wanted it to be or not. My eyes floated to a coolness I felt on my arm, and I flinched, sending the white matter to the floor after realizing what it was. That's when I noticed my shirt. Red speckles splattered all over my white Superman tee, a sight I would never be able to unsee, a feeling I would never be able to unfeel. Despair washed over me, like when my parents died, adding to the pile that would forever haunt me. The guy was dead, his blood not only on my clothes but also on my hands. Another life lost because of me. I didn't know how many more deaths my soul could handle. I was doomed. I would burn in hell one day. I might not have been the one who pulled the trigger, but it didn't change the facts. Uncle Alejandro did it for me. That didn't make it any better. If anything, it only made it worse. My eyes jerked in rapid movements, imprinting the gory details of the evening into my mind, my memory, and my soul. Their nonchalant faces taunting me like they didn't have a care in the world. The kickback from the gun as it jerked back my uncle's arm. The flash behind it. The sound of a bullet as it blasted through his skull, lodging into the steel door of the elevator, only a few inches away from my face. The ringing sound in my ears caused from the blast left me thinking I was deaf. Blood. Brains. The god-awful stench. Imprinted. All of it. I took off like a bat out of hell. I didn't think twice about it. I ran on pure emotion and adrenaline, trying to seek shelter any way I could. I punched the code into the service elevator as if my life depended on it. The scene wouldn't stop playing out in front of my eyes, over and over in my mind. On instant replay, I was powerless to stop it. My heart pounded out of my chest, and the walls felt like they were caving in with each passing second. The elevator dinged. The door slid open, and I was back in the kitchen. I pushed off the wall and ran as hard and as fast as I could for the front door. My legs burned, and my body ached. I immediately tried to open the door, forgetting that it was still locked. I turned the knob, but it wouldn't budge. "What the fuck?" I screamed out, barely being able to hear myself. "Fuck!" I yelled in frustration, banging the door. Panic set in. I couldn't leave. I never opened the door or left the house by myself. It took me a second to find the alarm that was on the far wall behind me. Stumbling on my own 2 feet, I almost fell to the floor running to it. My hands shook the entire time. I punched the code in from the service elevator. Nothing. "Fuck!" I screeched out, punching it in once again. Nothing. I shuddered, resisting the urge to throw up. "What the fuck?" Swallowing hard, my mouth suddenly dry. I backed away from the alarm and turned my efforts back toward the door. "Somebody help me! Somebody please help me!" I screamed at the top of my lungs over and over again, fists pounding as hard as I could. "Please! Please!" I begged until my voice was raw, my throat burned, and my resolve broke. Nothing. No one. I looked around the room and realized I was alone. No one had chased after me. No one was behind me. No one followed me. I ran into my room, slamming the door behind me. I frantically looked around, trying to gather my thoughts. I needed to lock myself away. I quickly shoved my dresser in front of the door, making sure it was secure. It was a useless precaution. If my uncle wanted in, he would get in. I was hyperventilating, held captive in a house that was supposed to be my home. I had nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. Nowhere to run.
I had no one. I fell to my knees, welcoming the sting from the impact. I sat there and let everything I was holding in go. I bawled for my parents. I cried for that man, even though I shouldn't have. I sobbed for what I was forced to witness. Most of all, I wept for the fact that he killed that man for me. Happy 15th birthday, Daisy, echoed in my mind, followed by the blast over and over again. I don't know how much time went by before I crawled my way into the bathroom and forced myself to look in the mirror. The girl looking back at me was still covered with the man's blood and remains. I stepped back, pulling off every last piece of clothing, throwing it right in the garbage where it belonged. I stepped into the scorching hot shower, wanting and needing it to wash away all of my sins. Pressing my forehead against the tile, I just stood there, watching the stranger's blood paint the shower floor red, and then go down the drain, taking the last bit of innocence I had with it. I stayed in there until the water was frigid cold, which was a nice change to the burning of my skin. I put on a tank top and some cotton shorts, grabbed the comforter off my bed, and curled up on the floor in the furthest corner of the room, far away from the door, waiting for the knock that I sensed was coming, never expecting who was on the other side.
Chapter 9. Austin.
When is he going to wake up? Why can't I open my eyes? Why can't I feel my body? Why am I so tired?
Austin, can you hear me? The doctor says we need to talk to you, that you can hear us and it will help you come out of your coma.
Coma? I'm in a coma? Where's Alex? Someone tell me where Alex is. Why am I so tired?
You look good today, baby. My boy's got some color again. You're looking like your old self. Come back to us, please. We're all waiting here for you. Open those bright blue eyes.
Where is Alex? Please, someone tell me where Alex is. I need to know if I killed her. I can't live if she didn't. Why am I so tired?
We've seen a significant decrease in the swelling on his brain. The medically induced coma is doing its job. And like I said before, it's just a waiting game now.
My brain? What the fuck is wrong with my brain? Why can't I wake up? Open your eyes, Austin. Open your goddamn eyes. Why am I so tired?
Austin, you need to wake up now, okay? You can't leave me. I love you. Please come back to us.
Half Pint. Alex. She's alive. And now I can finally sleep.
His eyes. Did y'all see that? Oh my God, his eyes are opening. I think he's waking up. Honey? Honey, can you hear me?
Mom asked. My eyes fluttered open, trying to shake off the haziness of my mind, blinking away the darkness and welcoming the light that showed me I was alive.
Water,
I softly murmured. My lips were so chapped it hurt to move them, my throat so dry I could barely swallow.
Oh my God, he's talking! He's up! Dylan, go get the doctor! What, baby? Say that again?
I felt her leaning by my face.
Water,
I whispered into her ear. I heard the shuffling of feet, but had to shut my eyes again. The lighting in the room was too bright. All I wanted to do was to keep them open, but they burned.
Open your mouth, baby.
I did, and the second I felt the straw on my lips, I sucked, drinking it all down in one long gulp. I couldn't fight the drowsiness, even though the last thing I wanted to do was sleep. I felt like I had been sleeping for years. I heard voices, questions being asked, and felt hands stroke my face, arms, and chest. Before I could give it any more thought, or fight it off any longer, I passed the fuck out. I had no idea how much time had gone by when I woke up next. I felt better, but groggy and disoriented as all hell. The doctor, which happened to be Aubrey's mom, asked me so many damn questions that it made me want to go back to sleep to keep from answering them.
You've suffered severe trauma to your brain, Austin, her mom reminded.
No shit, I sarcastically replied, wanting the hell out of this bed and hospital.
Austin,
Mom reprimanded.
You have several broken ribs, burns, and deep cuts on your face and all over your body. Some will heal, but most will scar. You flew out the windshield. They found your body almost 7 feet away from the car. God, Austin, you're lucky to even be alive.
If it hadn't been for the grass and damp dirt from all the storms we've been getting lately, there's no doubt in my mind you would have died.
My mom bowed her head while my dad took a deep breath.
We'll have to operate on your brain to stop the bleeding and put you in a medically induced coma to reduce the swelling.
My hand subconsciously went up to the side of my head where I felt the bandage, my hair shaved around it.
I guess that explains the killer headache, I said.
You've been in a coma for a week. That's normal. But, Austin, it's going to take some time for you to heal. We haven't tested your physical skills yet. There's a chance that you may need physical therapy. You have several fractures in your back and on your legs. Your motor and mental skills seem to be okay, but that could also change as the days go by. We will be watching you closely for the next several weeks.
Weeks?
Yes. You won't be medically discharged for a while, so you might as well get comfortable. You're not going anywhere.
I took a deep breath, hating that she said that, and immediately touched my ribs.
Fuck, that hurt.
She walked over to my bed and handed me what looked like a controller.
You're on a morphine drip,
at least for the next few days until we figured out where your pain is centered and how high your tolerance is. Then we can switch you over to doses throughout the day. When the pain is too much, you press this button, okay?
I nodded, tucking the controller at my side.
I'm serious, Austin. No playing Mr. Tough Guy. You just had a dosage not too long ago, so that's why you're feeling somewhat stable. But I promise you, once the pain kicks in, it will be unbearable.
I got it.
She nodded again, giving me a worried look.
Do you remember anything? The accident? Do you remember what happened?
All eyes full on me. I couldn't tell if their expressions were hopeful that I would or optimistic that I wouldn't remember.
Drinking with Charles all day. Finding Alex on the pier. Dragging her to his party. Dancing. Laughing. Drinking some more. Driving drunk. Racing Jason. Woods. Driving faster and faster and faster. A shortcut. A tree.
Half pint?
I stated as a question.
She lowered her eyebrows.
Austin, do you remember?
I peered around the room, and then it hit me like a ton of fucking bricks.
Almost killing Alex.
I swallowed hard, trying to control my breathing, my emotions. The machine that I was hooked up to suddenly started making a lot of noise.
Austin, it's all right. She's okay. She's right here,
Alex broke in. I blinked a few times. I wondered if it was just my dazed and confused mind playing tricks on me. She was in a wheelchair, Lucas standing behind her, her hands firmly placed on her lap. She looked so tiny in the chair, her beautiful face covered in nothing but bruises and cuts. The hospital gown did nothing to hide more of the same on her body. I sucked in air that wasn't available for the taking, my eyes now wide, my body now shuddering. It took everything inside me not to break down.
I'm fine,
Alex coaxed, as if she knew what I was thinking, what I was feeling, what I needed to hear.
Answer the question, Austin,
Lucas demanded, bringing my attention to him.
Do you remember what you did?
Beau, that's... I'm sorry, I found myself saying. I don't remember anything.
I lied. Not because I was scared of the consequences. Not because I was afraid of facing the boys, my parents, or even the cops. Not from any of that. I was fucking terrified that if I told her the truth, that if Alex knew I remembered almost killing her, she would never look at me the way she was looking at me right then and there, and I would lose the only girl that ever mattered to me. The girl I was supposed to protect. The girl that I vowed to never hurt.
My best friend.
Alex, you shouldn't be up. You need...
I'm fine, she reprimanded with a stern tone. I'm not leaving until I talk to Austin, alone. Now if all of you could please give us a few minutes.
Aubrey's mom looked back and forth between us.
You have 10 minutes.
Everyone left, much to Lucas's disapproval. He lingered at the door before disappearing into the hallway. Alex got up out of the wheelchair to shut the door. I opened my mouth to stop her.
I'm fine,
she interrupted, walking over to me, sitting on the bed right next to my waist.
The guilt was eating me alive with each passing minute. I couldn't take it anymore, and instantly pulled her into my arms, hugging her as tight as I could. I didn't give a fuck how much it hurt my ribs. I was so grateful that she was alive, that I didn't kill her. She willingly came, wrapping her arms around my neck. For the first time, I was the one to tuck my face into the side of her neck, needing comfort, reassurance, and love. Needing her. Even though I didn't deserve any of it. Not after what I did.
I'm so sorry, Hatbunt. I'm so fucking sorry.
I openly bawled, not being able to hold back.
Shh. She rubbed my back. Shh. Austin, I'm fine. It wasn't your fault, and it doesn't matter. We're alive, and I love you no matter what. Shh.
She soothed, whispering reassuring words over and over again. All lies. Every last one of them. But I didn't stop her. I broke down until I couldn't anymore. She told me that she didn't remember anything either. She told me that everything was going to be okay. She told me that she loved me over and over again. She told me everything I wanted to hear. Everything I needed to hear. It should have made me feel better. It didn't. After she left, I sat there by myself. I couldn't get my mind to shut off. I couldn't get my feelings to stop attacking me, turning on me, and making me feel like a bigger piece of shit than I already knew I was. Regret. Remorse. Shame. Almost killing Alex. I reached for the morphine drip and pressed the button.
Briggs. I jumped as soon as I heard the knock on the door. The loud noise startled me, even though I knew it was coming at any moment. It still didn't prepare me. Nothing did. I held in my breath the entire time, not wanting to make a sound, trying to remain calm in the chaos, not allowing it to take me further and further into the black abyss, praying that my uncle would accept my silence and just go away. I jumped again with the second knock. My nerves were on fire, and all that did was pour gasoline on the fear that had taken up residence in my body, igniting it more. Daisy. My heart dropped. The pounding rhythm immediately subsided, and it was replaced with an unfamiliar feeling. A feeling I couldn't quite place. It didn't scare me, but it didn't comfort me either. Daisy, open the door, it's me. It's me. He said it like it made a difference. Like it took away the last few hours of my life. Like he didn't play a part in the turn of events tonight. And like he wasn't one of the reasons I was there in the first place. As if saying, it's me, made it all go away and magically better. Trying to put a band-aid on my soul when it was already broken beyond repair. Daisy, please, just open the fucking door. He wallowed, his voice wrecked and torn. My feet moved on their own accord, my body being pulled by a string, drawing me closer and closer to the door. Before I knew it, I pushed my dresser out of the way and turned the knob. I instantly jerked back, assaulted with the strong scent of alcohol. Esteban was leaning on the wall beside my door, one arm propped up with his forehead pressed against the drywall, his other hand still in the air, ready to knock again. It took him a second to realize I had opened the door, angling his head slightly to look at me. We locked eyes, our expressions mirroring each other. His eyes were bloodshot and swollen. I couldn't tell if it was from crying or from the bottle of whiskey that was still firmly clutched in his grasp. We stood there for a while, not saying anything. Words weren't necessary. Our eyes spoke for themselves. And his spoke volumes. I'm so fucking sorry, he breathed out, desperation and sadness written all over his face. I had never seen him like that before. It physically pained me to see him that way. The once strong, solid man was gone. All that was left in his place was a man nearly on his knees, begging for forgiveness. Where is he? I asked, needing to know. Gone. For now, anyway. How could you do this to me? I whispered, my eyes filling with fresh tears. He shook his head, averting his eyes to the floor, not able to look at me anymore. Did you think I had a choice, Daisy? We're more alike than you realize. He paused to let his words sink in. This life, it's yours whether you want it to be or not. It's the shitty cards you were dealt. All you can do is embrace it, because if you don't, it will bury you alive. I could have warned you, I could have told you to leave. I could have done a lot of things. But in the end, it doesn't matter. You're already nailed to the cross. I vigorously shook my head. Back and forth. Back and forth. Back and forth. Fuck you! I scoffed, snapping his attention back to me again. Do you hear me? Fuck you! I screamed, not caring who heard me. Tears streamed down my cheeks and fell to the floor between us, along with my jaded heart and fucked up soul. I turned around and went back into my room, needing to sit down. I sat on the edge of my bed, defeated, hating that he was right, hating that I had no choice, hating that this was my life now. I hated my uncle, but I hated myself even more. I bawled. I sobbed so hard that my body convulsed and I couldn't breathe. The walls were crashing down all around me. Hyperventilating and sucking in air that wasn't available for the taking. Drowning in my own despair. Asking God why I deserved this. Beginning to think he didn't even exist. I felt fingers caress the side of my face, wiping away my tears that kept falling, one right after the other. I peeked up through wet lashes and blurry eyes. Esteban was on his knees in front of me. I'm so fucking sorry, he rasped, his own voice breaking. That's when I really lost it. That's when it really hit me. It was all a lie. No God. No family. No love. I was all alone, abandoned, by myself. I trembled, my body giving out on me. Any ounce of strength I had left vanished. He pulled me into his strong, solid arms, a place I was so familiar with, the only comfort I've ever known since the day I died. I sobbed uncontrollably, my vision blurred and my throat locked up, becoming so raw, so dry, so torn into pieces that I would never be able to be put back together. He held me tighter, trying like hell to save me from myself. Please, please, I begged, shuddering against his chest. I wanted something, anything to keep me from feeling the emotions that were dragging me down, deeper and deeper into the pits of hell. Standing right by my uncle, where a part of me knew I belonged. What can I do? He commiserated, pulling back, placing his warm hands on either side of my face to look deep into my eyes. Tell me what I can fucking do and I will do it, Briggs. For you. It was the first time he ever called me that, and I would be lying if I said I didn't yearn to hear him say Daisy. I blinked away my tears, swallowing back the sobs to gaze at the only man who has ever given a damn about me. The only man who had ever been my friend, my protector, my confidant, my everything. He was all I'd ever known. I want to be the hero of my own story, Esteban. I crave to feel what they feel, even for just a night. And you're the closest person who resembles affection in my life, I half-whispered. I leaned in on pure impulse and looked into his vacant eyes, searching for something. I felt him lightly gasp before I brushed my lips against his, kissing him. My inexperienced lips moved against his for a few seconds before he finally started to kiss me back. It was the first time I had ever kissed anyone. It felt different than I had imagined it would. A sensation like nothing I could ever describe, and for a few fleeting moments, it took away the pain in my heart. He shook his head, pulling away from me, pushing me back, and I whimpered at the loss of his lips. We can't do this. You want to make this better? Me? Better? I need you to take away the bad. Silence the chaos in my head. Please? His conflicted stare never left mine as I reached for his shirt. He didn't say a word or move a muscle when I started unbuttoning it one by one until it was fully open. I took in his hard, naked chest for the first time. The contours of his abs. His tan skin that was so much darker than my white complexion. I reached for the bottom of my tank top. And his hand instantly stopped me. Daisy, he warned in a voice I didn't recognize. I know, this doesn't change anything. I'm not looking for you to whisper sweet nothings in my ear, Esteban. I don't need you to make love to me. I know where we stand. I just need this from you right now. It's never this hard for the heroines in my books. They make it seem so easy. Am I wrong? Is this a mistake? Am I going to regret this? I closed my eyes and pulled my tank top over my head before either of us gave what I just said any more thought. Tossing it aside, I felt a chill on my bare breasts. I reached for my cotton shorts and slid them down with my panties, flinging them both aside as well. When I was fully undressed, I took a deep breath and opened my eyes, I would never forget the look on his face for as long as I lived. It was the first time anyone had ever looked at me like that. You're beautiful, he coaxed, with hooded eyes and a sad smile. I blushed, not used to the praise. I could sense his resolve as his eyes took me in. I could feel his thoughts raging a war in his mind, so I leaned in again before he could give it any more thought, taking away the need to feel anything other than what was wreaking havoc on my soul. I leaned back against the bed, bringing him with me, my hands pressed against his chest when I felt his weight on top of me. I ignored the smell and taste of alcohol that radiated off his breath, knowing that it was impairing his decision between right and wrong. I wanted this. I needed this. It was wrong, but it didn't matter, because in that moment, it felt right, and that's all that mattered to me. We kissed and touched each other, getting lost in the moment, getting caught up in the way we were making each other feel. His hands were everywhere and all at once, like he couldn't decide where he wanted to touch me the most. I sought comfort in the false illusion he was letting me have, and reality hit the second I felt his dick at my entrance. It all became clear that this was really happening. And I welcomed it with open arms. He leaned his forehead against mine and groaned. Are you sure? This is what you want? I smiled against his lips, nodding, kissing him hard once again. He thrust in slowly and carefully, knowing that this was my first time. I held back the urge to whimper, not wanting him to stop, but to keep going and make me feel the promises of what his hands already brought me. When he was fully inside of me, he let out a deep, long breath. Are you okay? He murmured in between kissing me. I nodded again, not being able to form the words for what I was thinking, let alone feeling. The sounds of our bodies coming together echoed in the room, filling the silent void. Once the stinging diminished, a new bubbling feeling crept into my lower abdomen. I moaned, and my head fell back, allowing him to kiss, lick, and suck. His hand reached down between us to touch me, and I swear I thought I was going to die. Right then and there. Oh my God, I panted. I couldn't take it anymore. The way his thrusts devoured me, the way his fingers played with me, the way his kisses consumed me was far too much for me to control. The room started to spin and my breathing faltered. I felt like I was coming apart and being ripped open all at the same time, barely being able to control my movements, let alone my breathing. I made all sorts of noises that seemed foreign coming out of my mouth. The room caved in on me, as spasms consumed my body, taking me to the edge, and all I wanted to do was fall. I was almost there. So close. Just one more. You motherfucker, Uncle roared, taking something else away from me. I screamed, jolting out of my skin. Esteban was roughly ripped away from me, and I saw his body being thrown across the room. His back hit the wall so hard it tore through the drywall. My uncle didn't falter. He picked him up and slammed him up against the doorframe, and I heard a loud crack. I was frozen in place with the sheet covering my naked body. I sat there watching my only friend get ripped away from my life. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I couldn't tear my eyes off the brutal scene in front of me, as if I was watching a train wreck unfold and not being able to look away. You piece of fucking shit! After everything I've done for you? My uncle roared, picking him up off the ground again and punching him in the face repeatedly. Esteban's body lay lax against my uncle's strong grip. He punched him in the stomach, causing the beaten man to fall forward, crumbling to the ground. He bent down, flipping him onto his back, and straddled his waist, beating him to an inch of his life. Because of me. More blood on my hands. No! I screamed, loud enough to break glass. Please! Stop! Please, I'm begging you. I'll do anything. Anything! My uncle ignored me and continued his assault on Esteban's face and body. When he finally stopped to stand, I breathed a sigh of relief, thinking I'd won, that had got through to him. I didn't. He reached into the back of his slacks and pulled out his gun, aiming it right at Esteban's head. No! I cried out. I lunged into action, jumping off the bed and throwing myself in front of the gun. That was now placed directly on my forehead, my body shielding what was left of Esteban's life. Get the fuck out of my face, he gritted through a clenched jaw. No, please, 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 I'm begging you. It wasn't his fault. I got down on my knees, tucking the sheet under my arms, setting my hands in prayer gesture out in front of me. I'm begging you, pleading with you, on my hands and knees, please don't do this. Please, Uncle, you don't have to do this. I bellowed through tears. He scoffed. You think your pitiful performance is going to work on me? You don't know me, Peladita. Get the fuck off the floor before I make you. And trust me, you don't want it to come to that. I shook my head. No. He cocked his head to the side as if no one had ever said that to him. You look like a fucking whore on your knees. Now get the fuck up. I shook my head again. No. What? You love him? You love that piece of shit? He pointed to Esteban's lifeless body. I swallowed hard. No, Uncle. I don't. I answered the truth. His head jerked back, stunned. He believed me. So, you are a whore, he stated. Your mother would be so proud. I frowned, not wavering. Please, please don't do this. Not for me, okay? You don't have to do shit for me. Do it for my mom. The only sister you had. The one you loved so fucking much, I reminded, throwing the words he spoke hours ago back at him. His eyes glazed over as he narrowed them at me. For the first time, he didn't hide the fact that the mere mention of my mother could bring him to his knees. He slowly lowered his gun, but didn't holster it. I exhaled for what felt like an eternity. He grabbed his phone from his pocket and walked towards my window. I immediately turned to check on Esteban. I placed his head on my lap and caressed the sides of his bloody bruised face, barely recognizing the man who was in my arms. Hey, he stirred. You're going to be okay, I coaxed.
Venga a recoger este hijo de puta antes de que yo lo mate, Uncle roared. Come get this son of a bitch before I kill him.
He hung up, placing his phone back in his suit jacket, still facing the big bay window in my room, with his back to me. After all these years, after all this time, I wanted to know what he was thinking, what he was feeling. I wanted to know his story. What made him the way he was? If he was ever a kind person, a loving man, a scared child? I shook away the thoughts when I heard footsteps ascending down the hall. The same two men I'd met in the basement walked into the room. My uncle took one look at them and then nodded toward Esteban, turning to face the window once again. They quickly picked him up, dragging him away from me, taking the blanket off the bed and wrapping it around him. He was half conscious when the men stood him up, but he was still hunched over, reeling in pain. They placed his arms around their necks for support. Esteban opened his eyes as much as he could, wanting to look for me, I was sure. The men didn't allow him any time, and I wasn't stupid enough to say anything to him. They carried him towards the door, leaving me to wonder if I would ever see him again. It didn't matter. He was alive. You know what? Uncle said, bringing all of our attention back to him. The men holding Esteban spun to face him. My uncle turned around and narrowed his dark, daunting, soulless eyes directly at Esteban. I changed my mind, he simply stated. And before it registered what he just said, he lifted his gun and shot him. No! I yelled out, placing my hand over my mouth. Hearing him groan out in pain, it was when I noticed his leg was gushing blood, and my hand fell to my heart. Relieved.
The next time you fuck with what's mine, Esteban, the bullet will go in your fucking head.
With that, the men turned and left, leaving a trail of his blood on the floor.
Briggs,
Uncle announced, and I glanced over at him with nothing but hatred in my glare. He was lost in thought, staring at my shed innocence that stained the sheets on the bed. He walked over to me, every step precise and calculated with the same vicious expression on his face. He roughly gripped my chin, making me look him dead in the eyes. He looked at me like I had been reborn, like I was no longer a little girl, and said, You're a Martinez now.
Chapter 10, Austin. The one thing I knew for sure, I fucking hated school. I sat in my freshman psych class, not paying any attention to the lecture, too distracted checking out the chick sitting one row below me in the auditorium. Her tits were on full display, making me want to bury my face in them and motorboat the shit out of her. I grinned, biting the edge of my lip. The best thing about college was the pussy and parties. The rest was just kind of a blur. I barely ever went to class, too hungover from the night before to give a shit about anything before noon. That's when my day started most of the time. I woke up alone, but I never went to sleep that way. Not that we slept. After the accident, I had a lot of time to make up for staying in the goddamn hospital for a month. Not to mention the countless fucking hours of physical therapy that followed shortly after my stay. I wasn't miraculously cured. My back still hurt like a son of a bitch whenever I worked out.
Thank God for pain pills.
My hair had grown back, covering the massive scar I had from surgery. I grew out my facial hair to cover the ones on my face. The only visible scar was a small one down my eyebrow. Glass sliced right through the hair and left me with a missing patch. I had some wicked marks on my arms, back, chest, and legs, which I was self-conscious about at first. They were my motivation for starting a daily regimen of working out at the gym like my life depended on it. I accepted the fact that they were a part of me now, forever etched into my skin. A daily reminder that I'd fucked up. To my surprise, the scars got chicks all hot and bothered. Something about making me look like a bad boy. They were on me like bees on honey. College was like sex heaven on steroids. Chicks liked to experiment. They wanted to embrace their sexuality or some bullshit, and I had no problem being their fucking subject. I had missed so many days of my senior year after the accident that I had to take summer classes to graduate. They let me walk with my class, though. I didn't give a shit about any of it. I did it because it made my family and Half-Pint happy to see me walk across the stage and receive my diploma. My mom hung it proudly in her office, saying that my college diploma would go right next to it someday. It was just another piece of paper that I could wipe my ass with as far as I was concerned. That's how much school meant to me. The boys and I saw each other here and there, but not nearly as much as we used to. So much had changed. So much had happened. I spent my freshman year in the dorms instead of living with them. The plan had been to move in with them after graduation, since they planned on getting a bigger apartment for all of us. That was shot to shit real quick. Jacob and Dylan may have forgotten what the fuck you did, Austin, but I haven't, and I won't, Lucas argued during my graduation party. I didn't say anything, because what could I say to that? He was right.
Lucas, calm the fuck down. He fucked up. He knows it. With the hours of community service, the legal fees, and his license being suspended for a year, not to mention the physical scars, I think it's enough of a daily reminder for him.
Dylan intervened, holding him back with his forearm.
He almost fucking killed her.
She was in a goddamn coma.
He shoved Dylan's arm away, pointing at me.
You stay the fuck away from Alex. Do you understand me? Stay the fuck away from her.
I can't do that, I countered, not backing down. He stepped closer to me. Our faces were an inch apart, Dylan and Jacob standing right beside us, waiting to step in.
You may not remember what you did, but that doesn't change the fact that you're a fuck-up, he gritted out. We give you one thing to do. One fucking thing. Take care of her. Just take care of her. It was fucking simple. You couldn't even do that. I'm tired of making excuses for you. You're lucky I don't bury you alive.
I held my chin high.
So much for being brothers, Lucas.
He scoffed, shaking his head.
You're not my brother.
I looked him up and down. He stepped away from me, adding,
Not anymore.
I swallowed hard, blinking away the hurt I felt in my heart.
Give him time, Austin. He'll come around, Dylan coaxed.
I nodded.
Dylan's right. You know Lucas. He's hot-headed and stubborn as all hell. When he's ready, he'll forgive you. He'll get past this.
Have you? I blurted out, already knowing the answer. They both looked at each other, then back at me, the truth written all across their faces.
Exactly.
Hi, the girl with the tits from class greeted, pulling me away from my thoughts as I walked out into the parking lot. I glanced over at her and she smirked, playing with the ends of her hair. I immediately envisioned pulling it
while I was balls deep inside her, gripping it back by the nook of her neck as I fucked her doggy style. My cock twitched. "Hey there," I smiled.
"You want to hang out?"
she asked, doing that thing chicks do with their lips, a pout she seemed to have perfected, making me wonder what they would feel like wrapped around my cock.
"I have some weed back at the sorority house. We could smoke, talk, you know, whatever."
I was about to say something when my phone rang, grabbing it out of my pocket to see who was calling me. Alex's smiling face illuminated the screen.
"He almost fucking killed her. She was in a goddamn coma."
I hit ignore.
"Lead the fucking way, sweetheart."
Briggs. Alejandro Martinez. I never understood the importance of a name. It wasn't until after that night 3 months ago that I learned that names carry a heavy load. The connotation behind a name, and not just any name, my name, Martinez. "Damn, I love your hair," the girl behind the counter all but screamed as I walked into the tattoo shop. "How did you get such a vibrant purple? Oh my God, I would kill for that." I ignored her compliment and looked around the room, stopping when I spotted the guy in the back corner covered in tattoos. When he felt my gaze on him, he peered up and we locked eyes. I internally smiled. I recognized those eyes. I walked toward him, never breaking our connection, the tattoo business card that I found on my uncle's desk safely hidden in my pocket. If you wanted to know the truth about someone, the secrets that lurk in their dark corners, what they're feeling, what they want, what they need, the depths of their soul, just look them in the eyes. They never fucking lie. I handed him the piece of paper that I had clutched in my tight grasp. He took it from me and looked it over, jerking his neck back with a fascinated regard. "You want this tattooed?" he asked, his gaze still intently placed on the drawing in his hand. "Yes." "Where?" From the nook of my neck, down the center of my back, stopping in the middle. I pointed to the sketch. "These I want on each of my shoulder blades, cascading down the sides of my entire back." He shook his head mockingly. "Sweetie, this is an intricate tattoo. The detailed outline will take several hours, not to mention several sessions to do the color and shading. The pain alone can be unbearable." He handed me back my drawing. "How about just a butterfly or something?" I cocked my head to the side and narrowed my eyes at him. "I got nothing but time, sweetie." He arched an eyebrow. "How old are you?" "Old enough." "Oh yeah?" He nodded at me. "Let me see your ID." "Alejandro Martinez is my ID." His eyes widened. It was quick, but I saw it. I knew he would recognize the name, having an appearance of a man who was just released from prison. "And trust me, he won't give a fuck," I added. He stood up and gestured toward the chair in front of him. I sat down, waiting for him to get suited up. It didn't take long for him to have everything ready. Pulling over the curtain to give us some privacy, he laid down the table and patted it. "You can change in the bathroom. I have a smock in there you can use. Just leave the opening in the back." I smiled, grabbing the hem of my shirt. "I'm not shy. I don't need the bathroom. Be a gentleman and turn around." He smiled back at me, spinning the chair that he was sitting in. I threw my shirt and bra on the counter and laid face down on the table. I heard his movements and the sliding of his chair on the tile floor. I felt his warm hands rubbing alcohol all over my back. "It's your first tattoo, little girl?" "I don't know. Is it yours, big boy?" He softly laughed behind me, the vibration causing my back to stir. "You sure about this? Once the needle hits your skin, there's no going back." I looked at his reflection through the mirror to my right, and then back at my own reflection and said, "There's no going back for me, only forward."
Chapter 11. Austin. I got kicked out of the dorms a few months into my sophomore year of college for smoking pot. I was surprised that it took that damn long for the resident advisor to smell it coming out of my room. It was just some damn weed. It comes from the earth, for God's sake. It was already legal in several states. I didn't understand why I was getting so much flack for it. The parents, on the other hand, lost their shit because of this. I moved into Dylan and Jacob's apartment, as Lucas happened to be moving back to Oak Island. His mom was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, and he ended up knocking up some chick.
It took everything inside of me to bite my goddamn tongue, knowing the news nearly killed Alex.
Karma's a bitch.
We all took the news of his mom getting cancer pretty bad. I was the last one to find out. They waited until I was visiting to sit me down and tell me. It was Lily's, Lucas's baby sister's, 16th birthday.